Welcome, and thank you for joining the J to the Third podcast, featuring 30-year PGA professional Joey Hickman. This show will highlight golfers from Tennessee and beyond with stories of faith, fairways, and philosophies of teaching and coaching, both golf and life. You will be challenged, entertained, and encouraged by the guests on today's show. J to the Third stands for a lot of Jesus, a lot of joy, and a little bit of Joey. And now, let's welcome our host, Joey Hickman.
Welcome to J to the Third podcast. I'm your host, Joey Hickman. I'm also going to be your guest today. I've got a special show in store for you today. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to talk about habits of highly successful people and highly successful golfers, according to me. And that's what this podcast centers around: golf, life, God, fairways, all of those things we're going to talk about today. First, I want to thank my sponsor, Steve Kirkpatrick. He's been a friend of the show since its inception. If you haven't been by to see him, make sure you go by Kirkpatrick Golf in Donelson, Tennessee, 2547 Lebanon Road, for all your golf needs. He fits ping irons and woods, any kind of repair that you need done, he can do it. He's a master craftsman. He's a great guy. He is a consummate golf professional, and he's a good friend. Go by and see Steve. You might even see me there. He lets me teach there occasionally, and a nice little setup there. He can fit you using the GC2 Foresight simulator. I've got a nice setup. I think you'll enjoy it. Go by and see my friend Steve. Today, habits of highly successful golfers and successful people. I'm not reading off of a book. I'm just giving you things that have helped me in my golf career and in my life, and maybe that can help you in some regard with golf and life. We're going to talk about golf first, and then we're going to talk about life. What are some things that we can do to become better at golf? I'm going to tell you just kind of what I go through before I get ready to play in an event of any type, whether it's a club pro event or just a scramble with some of my buddies, getting ready to play golf. Kind of the night before, I'll sit down and I'll go through the golf course where I'm going to play. If I have never played it, I will do some research on the GHIN golf app, the handicapping app, and look up that golf course and go hole by hole and kind of get a layout of the land and the greens and how they might be sloped. All of those things will help me to make a better preparation to play it the next day. So I do that the evening before. On the drive to the course the day of, I usually try to listen to music that is soothing and just puts me in the right space in my brain. I don't want to listen to too much stuff that's loud and raucous. I might do that after the round when I'm trying to rinse all the bad shots out of my mind. But I'm going to make sure that I'm putting myself in the right frame of mind so that when I get there, I've established a routine, I've established a pace, I've established something that's going to be good for me. As soon as I park my car, I get out and I begin stretching. I stretch my back, I stretch my legs, I stretch my arms, my hands, my fingers. I try to do some trunk twist. I try to increase my ability to turn. I have a tight lower back due to some spinal surgery a couple of years ago. I'm great, but I have a tight back and I have to spend a little bit of time getting ready to swing and make that violent motion of hitting a golf ball. And that takes some prep time. I make my way to the range, and I don't hit a lot of balls. I usually try to hit about 30 or 35 balls, no more than that. I don't have a set number. I try to hit it until I feel like I'm making good contact and getting the flight that I'm looking for. I usually start with the heaviest club in my bag, which would probably be my 58-degree wedge. I try to hit several wedges to get the feel for how the ball's coming off, what I'm doing in my swing, how the ball's flying. Then I'll go maybe an 8 or a 9 iron, hit 5 or 6 balls with that, 5 or 6 iron, 5 or 6 balls with that. Maybe a hybrid, maybe a fairway wood, depending on where I'm playing. If I'm playing a tight golf course, I'm probably going to hit a lot of 3 woods off the tee box, so I'll spend some time hitting some 3 woods off the tee Otherwise, I'm going to put them down on the ground and play it like a fairway shot. I had 5 or 6 drives, making sure that I'm turning the ball the way that I want it to turn, got the right flight, and I feel like I'm hitting it in the center of the face. And then when I finish with that, I go back to my wedge, and I make 5 or 6 swings to get a really good rhythm going so that I'm ready to get on the first tee. That's typically what I do. I leave the range, I go to the putting green, and I spend 10 to 15 minutes working on my putting. I'll spend a majority of my time 3 to 6 feet from the hole trying to make sure that I'm hitting my start points and reading it correctly, putting a good roll on it, getting a feel for the speed of that particular length putt. And then I will get a spot on the green about 20 feet away, putt a couple of balls downhill 20 feet and turn right around and putt them right back uphill 20 feet to get a feel for the speed of the green so that I feel like I'm prepared to play any shot that may come my way while I'm playing golf. When I step on the first tee, I go by the simple moniker, aim small, miss small. I pick out a branch on a tree on the horizon where I want to start this ball. I don't always hit that target, but if I fail to pick out that target, if I just look at the giant fairway and I feel like, oh, I can put it in that fairway, I usually miss the fairway because I haven't picked a small spot to aim at. So I want to aim small to miss small. And it may be as small as an acorn on a tree or the tip of a branch or something that's going to make my focus be that finite so that I can try to get my ball to start on that point. I myself like to draw the ball. Some people like to fade the ball. I see most of the balls that I envision in my brain turning a little right to left. And when I pull that shot off on the first tee, it just sets me up for success. Hit that first fairway, get it in play. Set myself up for a good shot to the green, start the hole the right way. I think one shot at a time. I never get ahead of myself. I play the shot that's at hand. I can't do anything about the previous shot. I can only play the shot in front of me, and I try to make sure that I give myself a positive mental sound preparation to hit that shot and hit it in the middle of the green or hit it close to the hole, depending on what kind of shot that I may have. The main thing that I do is I forget the last shot, whether it was really good or really bad. I try to put it out of my mind. I can't do anything about that. I think about the next shot. I just focus on that one shot at a time. I don't allow any negative self-talk. If I happen to have hit a bad shot, I don't talk bad to myself. I try to figure out what I did wrong. I try to correct it through my practice swings, and then I get ready to hit my next shot. I'm going to make sure that I hydrate properly. On hot days in the summertime, I might drink 1 to 2 bottles of water per 9 holes. I want to make sure that I stay hydrated, so I'll get a sports drink probably at the middle part of the round and then do a couple more bottles of water on the back 9. Very rarely do I have to stop and go to the bathroom when it's hot outside because you're usually sweating it out. If the temperature is cooler, you may go once on the front 9 and once on the back 9. That's expected, and that's okay. I may get a light snack at the turn when I get that sports drink, just something to kind of keep something in my body. I'm a little hypoglycemic, so I need to keep something in my body to keep me mentally sharp so that I can prepare for the next shot. That's usually some kind of small protein or something, a fig bar, some peanuts, a candy bar if I have a hankering for some sugar, but usually I try to eat something that's a little more hearty that may just kind of not allow me to have that sugar high just for a moment and then crash soon after. I try to stay clear of caffeine while I'm playing golf. Sometimes if I'm in a bad mood, I may treat myself to some form of caffeine, diet Pepsi, diet Coke, something like that to keep me going. I want to make sure that I stay in the moment. I don't think too far ahead. I'm just one shot at a time. I don't try to think about hole 13 when I'm on hole 11. I may glance over and see where the flag is if it's nearby. I just try to make those mental notes in my brain as I'm playing to prepare me when I get to that hole. I want to play to my strengths. I don't want to necessarily play away from my weaknesses, but I want to play to my strengths. And my strengths are I may not hit every fairway, but I'm going to be around the fairway on most every tee ball that I hit. So I feel like I've got the ball in play where I'm going to have a clear shot at the green. If I'm coming out of the rough, it may come with a little less spin on it. So I may take a little less club, land it on the front of the green, and let it roll out. So I'm always trying to play to those strengths that I have. to help me. I feel pretty good about cutting the green into halves, front half, back half, left half, right half, and try to put it on a particular spot of the green, giving myself a good putt if I'm swinging at it well. If I'm not swinging at it well, I'm really honestly just hoping to hit the green somewhere near where I think I want to be, and then play the shot that I wind up with for the next shot. I add it up when I'm finished. I don't try to think about it when I'm playing. If I'm having a good round, I don't want to keep reminding myself, hey man, you're 2-3 under par, keep it going. I try to not think about that. I try to go one shot at a time. And if I'm hitting the ball well, it's easier to do. If I'm hitting the ball poorly, I may start thinking about that score, and I concentrate on score and not the process. And I really want to enjoy the process. I want to enjoy playing. I want to enjoy walking. I want to enjoy the fellowship with my playing competitors. That's why I play golf. It's a social game, and I'm a social butterfly. So I want to make sure that I do those things well. I add it up when I finish. I total the score. I may look at my stats. I usually try to keep up with how many fairways I hit, how many greens I hit, how many putts I had. If I hit a lot of greens, I'm usually going to have more putts than normal. But 30 is a good number for me. If I can keep it around that, I feel like I can score fairly well. If I hit a lot of greens, I may have 32 or 33, and that's okay, especially if I hit a par 5 in 2 occasionally. And I'm definitely going to 2-putt for a birdie. Might make that 1-putt for an eagle, so that'll really help my score. When I finish with the round, I've added it up. I've also made an assessment of if I need to go to the range and maybe work on something. Maybe if I didn't drive the ball too well, I might go down there and hit 10 or 12 drivers and try to fix my issue. I'm fortunate to have a track man, and most of the time I have that with me. I may take it down to the range with me, set it up, and may only watch 5 or 6 shots, to be honest with you. If my path and face are good, I usually write it off to maybe missing the center of the face. I try to work on hitting it in the center of the face and grain that in. Then I forget about it. I go about my day. I don't worry about the round anymore. I just assess what I did. If I didn't play very well, obviously I may not be in good sorts. I might have to listen to a certain kind of music to help get me back in the good sorts. I may have played well, and I may have thought very highly of myself, and I try to put that out of my system. I don't want to think that, hey, I've got this thing mastered, because if you've been around this game long enough to know, you know that you're never going to master it. You may enjoy it for a period of time and ride the wave, but then you're going to have to go right back to working on it. If you fail to go work on your game, please hear me on this. If you're playing well, that's great, but you still need to work on your game. Maybe there's something you need to do with your putting, or something with your shots around the green, with maybe a 9-iron or a 7-iron or a wedge, whatever you use. Maybe it's trying to flight the ball a little bit in windier conditions. Maybe you need to work on that. You need to always be working on something, because eventually the wheels are going to begin to come off. And if you keep working on something, maybe you'll keep that thing greased up, and you won't have the wheels come off quite as quickly as if you just neglect it altogether. That's my 10-cent message to you, is to make sure that you're always working on something and always trying to get better and always trying to make yourself prepare ahead of time for whatever may come, because you never know what may happen. There may be an injury. Somebody may call you for a scramble, and you want to impress them. And if you hadn't worked on your game, guess what? You're probably not going to impress them very much. So always work on your game. Work toward your strengths. Make sure that you're spending your time wisely, and you're preparing to do the very best that you can. Now, that's going to take me into habits of highly successful people. And look at the correlation between this and that last list that I gave you. I'm going to tell you what I do, what Joey does in the mornings, during the day, all of those things to get ready to face the day. And maybe this will help you to understand why maybe some people are a little more successful than others. I'm not telling you that I'm successful. I'm just telling you that I have found a way to keep my peace with my Savior, keep my peace with my family, keep my peace with myself. And these things have worked to help get me through some very tough times. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we go as well. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I can't wait to get into my little spot that I have by my fireplace. Even during the summertime, I still sit there. I may not turn the fire on, but I still sit there. I have my time alone with my God. I start out with a short prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to teach me from His Word, to help me to understand what I'm going to be reading and studying that day. Then I have a short devotional book that's usually a couple of paragraphs, one or two verses, a couple of paragraphs. Jack Countryman, a good friend of mine, gifted me with this book about 6 years ago, and I've been using it ever since to kickstart my time. It's just a great way to get started. It's every day with God, God's promises every day, and it just helps me to get going. It's authored by Jack Countryman. I'm sure it's still out there somewhere. If you need something like that, I highly encourage you to do that. The next thing I do is I use this model to grip a verse or two. I used to work in a ministry called In His Grip. I still support them. I'm still an ambassador to them. We use this acronym, GRIP, where I would write out God's Word, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, that's the R, teach me something from that Word, how to implement it, that's the I, and then the P is how do I pray it back. I usually follow a plan that Scott Lehman has done within His Grip, one or two verses per day out of a chapter. We follow go through a book, and then we'll usually go Old Testament, New Testament. That takes me about 10 minutes to do that. And then my church is reading the Bible through from front to back. And we are in the Psalms now. I've been doing this for 22 years, and I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, it's a lot of reading, and some days it's very difficult to get that reading in because that reading may take you 20, 25 minutes to finish. And your time may be a little short some mornings. I know when I've got that early business call or somebody wants a lesson early in the morning, or if I'm playing in a tournament early in the morning, I have to get up earlier to get this done. Usually takes me about 30 to 40 minutes to do my stuff in the morning. I finish it off with prayer. I make sure that I have my coffee with me. I believe in the following saying, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus and coffee. And if I got both of those things, I can make it work. So whatever works for you, that happens to work for me. That's how I kickstart my day. And then when I finish that, I've got a foster child I usually take to school. He's got to be there by 7:05. I stop back by the YMCA, and I put about an hour in. I walk about 40 minutes a day in the morning. Then I'll do some stretching and some light weights to give my body that jump start that it needs to get the blood going, and that gets me on my way to my count. I want to try to get between 10 and 15,000 steps in during the day. And if I go to the Y first thing in the morning and get about 5,000 steps in during that 40 minutes, that's a good head start to get me on my way. I then go home. I'll shower and get ready to face the day. I'll knock out the tough stuff first. That makes my day better. If I've got a long list to do, I'm going to take the toughest thing on that list and I'm going to knock it out. And then I'm going to take the second toughest thing and knock it out. It may be calling somebody to apologize for something that maybe I said or did the day before that has bothered me through the night. It may be calling someone about a business opportunity or something that needs attention first thing. That's might be a tough call to make. It might be following up on a doctor's visit from a day or two before. But I try to knock that tough stuff out first. If I do that, the rest of the stuff that I have to do throughout the day is just so much easier to get taken care of. I usually have a mid-morning snack of some sort and make sure that I hydrate properly, just like I did on the golf course. I'll then sit down and I'll return emails, texts, phone calls, anything that I need to do. I'm teaching now using TrackMan, and I shoot a lot of video of my students. And I'll take those videos during that time, and I'll voice over on those and send those to my students so that they've got something to work on for the next week or two before they come back for their next lesson. It's always good to have a check mark next to that to make sure that I get that done and keep my students happy, keep them working towards something to get better at golf and life. And that's one of those things that I do early on. I'll have a light lunch with prayer. If Susan is working at home that day, my lovely wife, we may try to go somewhere special for lunch, or we may just have a light lunch here together and talk for a little bit if she's working out of the house that day. Then I get back at it. I set the limit on my work day. If I'm going to teach golf that afternoon. I usually have a lesson slate of 2 to 5 lessons in the afternoon. I'm a middle school and high school golf coach. I set myself up with plans for each of that. I'm running a junior league at Riverside Golf Course. We meet weekly, and I usually have a plan set for that. But I'll set a limit on my work day. I hydrate mid in the afternoon, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 o'clock, try to make sure that I get something good in my body and keep my body going in the right direction. I'll have a nice dinner, and I'll be honest with you, I may overeat a little bit if I had a light lunch, and that's okay because usually during the summertime we'll go out and walk late evening in the neighborhood. We've got a very walker-friendly neighborhood, and we may go walk a mile or two in the afternoon to kind of burn off some of that extra energy that we have before settling down for the evening. I'll make plans for the next day. If I've got some students coming in that I haven't seen in a while, I may go back and look at some video that they've done in the last couple of months to refresh what we worked on then, get my mind right, getting ready to go for that. I may have some sort of entertainment that I listen to or watch on television or music. I'm a big music connoisseur. I love the Christian music that's out there in this world. And I grew up in the 70s. I think 70s rock is some of the best stuff that's ever been put out there. I may listen to some of that if I need some energy to get me through the rest of the day. But I like all types of music. Love watching Cubs baseball. If they're on, I may catch a little bit of that. With this MLB deal now, the next day you can watch a game in about 7 minutes recap. So I usually try to keep up that way with my dear cubbies. I've got something else that I like to do. And when I say this, I want you to not take it the wrong way. I try to help out around the house without being asked for most times. Sometimes I have to be asked, and I try to make sure that I don't get asked repeatedly to do the same thing. I had somebody tell me a long time ago when I first got married 33 years ago, be sure to make love in the kitchen. And I kind of laughed at that when I was told that, but then he explained it to me. He said, you know, your wife needs help in the kitchen. It can be cooking, it can be cleaning, it can be putting up clean dishes, it can be drying the dishes, whatever it is. So I want to make sure that I help out by doing more than my part in the kitchen. If it's cleaning out the dishwasher, if it's loading the dishwasher, whatever it is, that's called making love in the kitchen. And I want to make sure that I get that done. I'll shower, I'll read, I'll sleep 6 or 7 hours. I don't need much sleep, but I do like to have as much as I can possibly get. And sometimes if I get 7, that's great. Keys during the day, don't hold any grudges. Practice grace and mercy. You give it to yourself, you need to give it to other people. Have positive self-talk and hold yourself accountable or get with an accountability partner. Those are things that make my life what I think to be somewhat of a success with what I've been able to do. I hope this has been helpful. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at my email address or my phone number, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining the Jay to the Third podcast today. Joey can be reached by email at ohccjsh@gmail.com. Feel free to leave comments, suggestions, questions, or inquiries about joining the show as a guest. Special thanks to the supporters and sponsors of our show.